Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, there we go. All right, I'm like, what's going on? Hit too many buttons. What's up, Chicago? Let me try one more time for the three time. One for the Holy Ghost, one for the Father, and one for the Son. Yeah, we had to try it a couple of times. Look, y'all, we are live. It is Monday, Missional Monday, January. I'm going to say that like that. January the 23rd, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you guys on today in the studio. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, from the First Bethel Church on the south side of Chicago, the one, the only, Pastor Cornelius Parks. How are you, sir?
What it do?
I heard you, but I didn't hear you. All right.
I know.
Man, so we got a great show. Look, today's conversation is going to be good, right? Seven things we can learn from attractional churches. Seven things we can learn from attractional churches. That's going to be good, on this Missional Outreach Monday. That's going to be good. But let me give you all the rundown for those of you already on the line listening to how you can be a part of the show. If you're already on the line and you're listening, simply push one and you could be a part of the show. By you pushing one, that gets you in the queue. Our producer talks to you. What's up, Tanya? Our producer talks to you. She gets you in. She finds out what you want. Then all of a sudden, you're live on the air with us. Then from there, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. Social media, if you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Facebook, you want to Facebook us, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You'll find us there. Hit the subscribe button. It'll automatically pop up in your library. Also, we got Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running, okay? Facebook Live. That's this camera right here. Hey, y'all. Facebook. Say hi to the people. Thank you. All right. Ustream over here. That's Ustream. How y'all doing? Bless you. All right. So Facebook.com/TT. Did he really say hoodie hoo? Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Email the show. Email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. And last but not least, iTunes. Go to your iTunes account. Go to the podcast section. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off Radio, and you will find us there. Hit the subscribe button. Guess how much it costs, y'all? It's free. Free 99. You can't beat that. Man, what's good, Doc?
Man, you got this thing, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I got some energy. I'm good. And we're down to the last week.
Last week. Yeah. Man, last
week. We are
week.
Down to the last week of the 21 days of fasting and praying.
I just want to get back to one thing.
Coffee,
man.
Has it really been bad?
I've never seen this many coffee commercials in my life, man.
Pastor Reggie Rowe, I don't know if you saw his post the other day, he said, can anybody tell me where to find some coffee-flavored water?
Oh, my God. Man, listen here.
He wanted to know where some coffee-flavored water was. Man. And somebody responded, yeah, Pastor, it's called coffee.
Oh, my God. You're talking about a man that's in Darius' need. Man.
So when you get up in the morning,
Yes.
So you do that before you do everything? You shower, shave, and everything?
Yes.
So what do you have a coffee maker in the crib, or you just boil water? You got the little
maker.
You got a maker, okay.
Yeah, man.
And you just
I got a maker and a courage. Oh, and you got it. Come on, man. Man, listen. What did I say wrong now? What? It's not a curate.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Just you got one to nail. I ain't even playing with you today. I'm not even finna be bothered with you. Oh God.
Oh Lord.
It's Keurig.
Oh, Keurig. Man, listen, I'm country, man.
No,
I don't pronounce
it
every.
It ain't Keurig.
Keurig.
I'm done.
Keurig.
That's close enough. That's close
Keurig.
Enough. Okay, let it go. So you got one.
You got one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What brand? What's your coffee? What's the kind you like? What is it?
Oh, I love Dunkin' Donut, man.
Oh, so you buy the Dunkin' Donut K cups?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I love Dunkin' or anything that's flavored. Well, French vanilla is my thing.
Okay.
So when
okay.
I go to Dunkin', I get a large French vanilla with cream
okay.
and three equals.
Okay.
Heaven.
Okay. Okay.
It, heaven must be like that. I can't wait. Man, listen, I'm going to breakfast. I discovered something today. I just had a breakfast meeting and I discovered I normally get a skillet, right?
Uh-huh.
So this time I didn't get potatoes. I got a vegetable rice skillet.
Okay.
Woo!
It was decent.
Oh my God. Oh, eggs over easy.
Uh-huh.
Them vegetables in that rice.
Uh-huh.
Man,
set you right, huh?
All I missed was
just
my coffee.
Missing your coffee. Look,
and they know me, and they was just looking. No coffee. I'm looking.
So, but no. Let me ask this question: everybody else at the table drinking coffee?
Man,
see your boy's supposed to be down with you.
Okay, let me say this. This
go
is
ahead.
The crazy part.
Go ahead.
So I've been hanging out with the guys a lot lately.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And so even yesterday, I'm hanging out with Let Better.
Uh huh.
A couple other preachers.
Uh huh.
And we're sitting around. They want to order a pizza. Deep dish. And I'm just looking at them. Man, I've been tempted by the enemy.
Speaking of pizza, so Saturday, you know, I'm at the bowling alley.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, last week Saturday was the first Saturday since the fast started. It was rough because everybody eating chicken.
Right.
I promise you, yesterday, everybody walked past our table with a pizza.
Woo!
And see, at the bowl now, they got this thick pizza. It's almost
wow.
like they like, it's like they,
tiny
it's, no, it's like they make their version of beggars.
Oh.
And everybody walked past, and it got to the point one time, somebody walked past, I said, walk by me one more time. I was just knocking pizza out on the floor. I just want to start just walking to people like, no! Throw like a tantrum, like, no.
Don't you do that to me.
I'm like, they literally walking by with pizza.
Man.
And I'm like, and wait, so everybody eating pizza, right? They eating pizza. So I'm sitting at my table eating cashews.
Oh, my God.
eating cashews and drinking some Fiji. Like,
listen, I had a big bag of some nuts, man,
uh-huh.
mixed with dried cranberries and raisins.
Wow.
Man, I was eating them things like it was a full course meal. It had me some water to drink it down with. Man, listen, but I lost 18 pounds.
You've lost 18 pounds since
18
you started.
18 pounds, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
And the crazy part is,
that's awesome.
Because I have a lot of sweetness on me, you really can't tell because, but, overall, I've been doing before and after pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I can tell a trim down, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been helpful. And I can say this. My stomach on the inside, not the outside, is shrinking. My stomach on the inside is shrinking. I cannot intake as much food as I normally would. For some reason, it's conditioning itself.
That is true though. That is what happens when you stop eating or overeating.
Uh-huh.
Your stomach does shrink.
Yeah,
it does shrink.
And then you know what else I did? I fell in love with water, man.
Did you?
Oh my God! Like I gotta have water with me everywhere I go now.
Mm-hmm.
I put some apple cider vinegar in it with some lemon juice.
shake that thing up, and man, it curves, it does something, but it's burning too. You know, and I'm not able to do the gym like I want to because of the groin, but you know, to God be the glory, we praying by Friday I can get in there and really hit it. But I'm excited for me, man, because I put on a shirt. I got a Peyton Manning Denver Broncos jersey that fit me like a wetsuit. And I tried it on yesterday, and I have little room. I had a little room in it, and so I felt good. Man, I'm in the room jumping up like, yeah, yeah. I felt like Red on Friday. Yeah, Red. I'm like, yeah. So I'm getting there. You know, some clothes fit you like a wetsuit, man. That thing was fitting me. I seen all my dents. Like I had an accident all over my stomach, man. Dent right here, dent right here. I didn't have full coverage. I had liability. So and then your neighbor, when you're big, man, your neighbor is so deep, like deep sea diving. Your finger get lost in it, man. So I was just testing the waters. Hey, when you got a big belly, man, it shakes like a waterbed. You hit it on one side, the other side, boy. It's an after effect. You hit it and
I'm
just
done.
Go.
I'm good.
It's
I'm
a
done.
Weapon, man.
Okay.
Lord.
Pray for it.
But yo, hey, your boy getting there. I'm getting there. Keep praying for me. I got some great accountability partners that's in this with me. And I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited. Once I be able to bend down and touch my toes forward, I'll be all right. Once I be able to tap my shoes and the laces down on the outside, boy, your boy going to be cooking with something.
My goodness. Look, y'all, we got, as we promised you all, we always going to try to give you a scripture and a prayer. We're going to give you today's lunch scripture, which will be posted up. I didn't do a breakfast scripture this morning. There was a lot of stuff going on, so I didn't get to do the breakfast scripture for you guys this morning. But I will give you the lunch scripture as soon as I can find my place here. Thank you. All right. Yeah, I will give you the lunch scripture, and it reads as follows. It simply says this. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray, sir.
Father in heaven, we thank you and honor you, God, for your glory. We thank you for another week, God, that we're able to begin and be steadfast, unmovable. God, we pray that your glory continue to shine and reign, even in this atmosphere, God, even through our minds, our hearts, and even our mouth. We're going to open up our mouth, and you want to allow rivers of water to flow through, God. All that's partaking in the fast, God, we pray that you continue to cover them, God. We do know that this is crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
We moved into the ending of the fast, God, and we pray that we go through it all the way into the end. God, we love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hell, tearing that stuff. Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, this is awesome. This is good, good, good. I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm hearing good things. I know the other everybody else is participating. We have a lot of our listeners are participating with us.
Mm-hmm.
I've been checking. I know I'm laughing at the post from Pastor Reggie Royal. So I don't want to say he's struggling, but I think he feels the same way you do.
He posted a post this morning.
Uh-huh.
Saying this our members. When the pastor said, "Let's extend the faith."
Oh no!
And you got a little boy, you got somebody running, looking crazy and stuff. I'm saying to myself, "Well, pastor, you're my friend. You're not my pastor." I look at him, go put a picture.
This was two hours ago. He put a picture up of a coffee maker saying, "I've missed you, my friend." but I'm reset movement.
Oh my God,
that's good. That's good.
Oh, there it is. Man, listen here. Hey, this 21 days has been so helpful. Let me say this spiritually as well.
Yes.
I can even tell a difference in the atmosphere of my church.
That's good.
Service flow has been immaculate. Now, I mean, we starting on time, Doc, and we getting out. Yesterday was 12:27, and my goal is 12:30 every Sunday. And man, Pastor Reggie, man, listen here.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Man, y'all need to go to Pastor Reggie Royal Facebook page. Man. This man got a midget standing in the chair behind a pool pit, man. Get ready to take his text.
I'm done.
Oh my God,
I'm
man.
I'm so done.
Man,
I'm done.
Listen. So it's been good, man. Yesterday was a good fresh word.
Yes.
Dare to ask. A lot of times we don't get things from the Lord is because we're not asking God properly for the things that we want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God goes beyond our necessities.
Mm-hmm.
It's time that we start asking for big things, things that we can't accomplish on our own, things that we don't even think that can even happen in our life.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
is waiting. He wanted to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
And a lot of times we don't want to receive it because we're afraid. We think that we're not worthy enough to get certain things.
Yeah.
And so yesterday's message was really, I talked to Pastor Rose Harper and she said, man, you really preach to yourself because there's some things I'm asking God to do in my personal life. And I'm expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm pregnant. I'm just expecting to give birth now.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm ready. So
that's good.
To God be the glory. And let me tell you this, man, bro, I threw this fast and I want to thank God that we partnered because this was to help discipline me. But
yeah.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And even my mobility has improved a lot.
And again, it's not so that we're not, you know, yes, we know it's corporate prayer and fasting we've been doing for 21 days. We partnered with Lifeline Church and Pastor Reggie Royal and the crew. We partnered with them and we decided to do this for one, you know, everybody needs to fast at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just for the physical side of it.
Yeah.
You need to fast spiritually. You know, you need to fast and it's to reconnect you and T.D. Jakes has this great book. You should probably, this is one you could add to your library. It's called Reposition Yourself.
I've seen that. I've read that.
It's awesome book.
Yeah.
Awesome book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fasting does that.
Yeah.
It repositions you. One of the things that Pastor Reggie Royal put up there the other day was, you know, he said that they are hitting the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this fast is supposed to do. It's supposed to give you an opportunity to hit the reset button. So you can reset or reposition either one of them. But that was my purpose in it. Was to reposition myself to get me prepared for whatever it is that's coming down the line for me, and to just give me a different mindset.
That's good.
on things, and that's been my prayer.
Is
for God to just change my mindset.
That's good.
For me not to take now that doesn't mean, you know, to change my mindset towards the attacks as they come. But it does not mean it. And one thing that the Lord pointed out to me is that he's happy that I take it personal.
Yeah.
Because, see, you take it personal when it's something that you love doing.
Yeah. Definitely.
And you take it personal when you're all in.
That's right.
You take it personal. So not changing my mindset on taking it personal, because I think you should. I think anyone who's in ministry ought to take ministry personal.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take it personal, then you're really not you're not connected. You're not connected. So
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let me read some of these comments. Let me see here. We got people in the room. Wanda, Loving Me Hudson, good afternoon. Yolanda King, hello. She says 18 pounds. Wow, that's great. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Wanda, Brittany Francis says, amen. God bless you, brothers in Christ. May God bless the work of your hands and may he smile on the work in your ministry. Well, bless you.
Bless you real
Thank
good.
You, Brittany. I think Brittany might be a first-time watcher and listener. Thank you so much.
Where
we appreciate
go,
you. We appreciate you.
You know, I want to talk about something, man.
Go ahead.
What you got? I want to talk about these new age preachers.
Uh-oh. What you got? What you saw? What you heard?
So happily, we was in dialogue yesterday, and we was talking about—
After church?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the brethren.
Okay, okay.
And we was talking about the difference when we came up versus when they came up, and then this new age, these younger preachers now, they have no loyalty to the church.
Wow.
They have no loyalty to the pastor or even the people of God. It seemed like they are renegades. They out here doing what they want to do, and we could call them renegades or even outlaws. They out here, they prodigals.
Mm-hmm.
prodigals. That's another good term, because they're out here doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, and don't care what they do, because what happens if they leave my church, they know they always have somewhere else to go, because many doors are open to anything that comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid, because after the generation underneath me,
mm-hmm.
and this new generation, I don't see too much hope.
Wow.
And I'm being honest with you, because when you look at these guys, they're not we wasn't privileged to preach all the time.
That's true.
We wasn't privileged to even pray in the pulpit all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or even sit in the pulpit in some areas.
That's right. There you
go. Depending on how many preachers you had.
Or
even
go in the office.
Yeah.
With other pastors in there. And truth of the matter, we was the first armor bearers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All this new age armor bearer stuff, we the ones, we was the new, we was the armor bearers. We was the one that wiped the pastor's head or carry his Bible briefcase and all that.
Uh-huh.
And we did that with pride.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, man, it seemed like these young guys, you know, we can't even have youth revivals. The late Pastor Forrest Norville.
Okay.
And he's one that had a youth revival every year
mm-hmm.
that gave young ministers opportunity to preach.
Right.
Pastors that's senior pastors now that have gotten older in age,
mm-hmm.
some my age,
mm-hmm.
and then some underneath me
okay.
have gotten the privilege to go through
that
his
process.
Church,
yeah.
St. Rest. And we don't have that anymore. He will rebuke you, but he do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
He loved young preachers. He loved giving preachers the opportunity to preach.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, where did we go wrong at? Why is it that these young guys have no respect for the gospel anymore?
I can give you my perspective on it.
Yes, sure.
I think a lot of these younger preachers, and when we say younger preachers, our age and younger,
mm-hmm.
I think it comes from the training standpoint.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When you're not trained properly first of all, it's an etiquette thing.
True.
When you don't have training, then there's no training, there's very little loyalty.
Uh-huh.
See, we were, and I can say this, loyal to a fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? We were loyal to a fault. Now everything is, it's my time to shine.
It's my time to shine.
Everything is, it's my time to shine.
Yeah.
And because people are so anxious
to,
you know, we don't have the spirit of David.
Yeah.
See, David knew he had the job.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't take it until God released it to him.
It was his time.
He was crowned king mm-hmm. at what, 13, 11, 12, somewhere up in there, 13 or 14 years old? He was a teenager. He was crowned king at 13, but it was some time passed
mm-hmm.
before he actually sat on the
mm-hmm.
throne.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of guys feel like they've been anointed to do it.
Wow.
But don't want to sit by
wow.
and wait.
Wow.
Because they see what they perceive as Saul
wow.
sitting in their chair.
Wow.
And because Saul ain't moving fast enough,
wow.
they go somewhere else.
Wow.
When we had Pastor Reggie Worrell on the show last year, we talked about this, and he said, we talked about all these churches, and he said the problem is they're rogue churches.
Wow.
They should have never been opened in the first place.
Wow.
Because they weren't graced to open those churches.
Wow.
So they left the place where they did not, they no longer wanted to be under obedience or covering.
Wow.
So they went and,
wow.
he said, not that they went and pastored a church that was established, but they went and started churches.
Mm.
And he says a lot of these young preachers and then these churches go from and then they become church hoppers. They pastor for 1 year to 2 years to 3 years, and then they go pastor somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and they're constantly looking for the next come up, whether it be the next larger congregation or the next big building.
Exactly.
That's what they do.
You know what's amazing? I remember a time that in order for us to go preach,
mm-hmm.
the pastor had to go directly to the pastor, your senior pastor. I remember, and also this, and I remember if you're disobedient at home,
yeah,
you had no, you
can't go nowhere.
You can't go nowhere else.
The first time I got asked to preach outside of the kingdom, I went to the pastor of the church, and he's a friend of mine, been on the show, Pastor Harry Singleton, of Silver Cloud Missionary Baptist Church out on the south side, out there by you.
Okay.
He asked me to come preach at his Family and Friends Day.
Okay.
I went to my pastor.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And every other invitation I got, You went. I went to my pastor. I said
proper protocol.
Yeah, because I don't. Because for one, I don't. I not only represent God, but I represent your house.
That's right.
I represent. I'm a member of your flock.
That's
I
right.
represent you when I go out. So it's like, and if you don't think, and every time I went, especially the first time I
That's
got
right.
asked, you think I'm ready to go? Yeah, I had
That's
preached
right.
in. I had preached in house.
But then also, the most key important.
Yeah.
You want the blessings.
Yes.
Of your leader.
Exactly. I wanted his covering.
And I think,
absolutely.
I think today's time, associates have gotten too common.
Yeah.
With their senior pastor, and it we were having this conversation because we're saddened with the state and condition
mm-hmm.
of the church. I do know what the scripture said and supports
mm-hmm.
the church. However, there is so much that looking that by the eyesight it looks dim.
Mm-hmm.
It looked bad for the church
mm-hmm.
concerning the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Not God's anointing, not his spirit, but the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some of these young guys that just don't have a clue. Just because you got a hooping gift, that don't mean that the Lord is calling you
mm-hmm.
to be on several platforms. We was honored.
Mm-hmm.
It was an honor for us to even be considered to MC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm talking about MC, let alone.
Yeah, just MC a program.
That's right.
An afternoon program.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And then here. To preach at prime time,
mm-hmm.
11 o'clock.
That's a whole nother thing.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these young guys, and I see them out here, and they riotous. They
mm-hmm.
they loose. They're living where they acting like they have no discipline, no home, and they know that if one person chastises, and we need to stop swapping members. I'm serious. We're swapping members. We're not – winning souls, we are swapping members,
mm-hmm.
and we everybody. Oh well, I got them here. I put a bug in your ear, doc. Oh, I give you a better opportunity in what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
No, man, that's not where it's at, man. We're hurting these young guys. I've seen young preachers have not even graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where they do
yeah.
that at?
Yeah. I want you to continue the conversation real quick. I didn't want to repeat the scripture. They want to know what the scripture was we read. The lunchtime scripture was Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. That's the lunchtime prayer and fasting scripture that we're using for today. Romans 8, 38 and 39.
And, you know, I was sitting back pondering, trying to figure out if I did put together a youth revival. So what I did,
mm-hmm.
I reached out to one of Pastor Norville's daughter.
Okay.
Because Pastor Norville, he's a very pivotal man to my ministry. This man have given opportunities when you can preach nowhere else.
Yeah.
For his revival
yep.
and for his wife's night service.
He opened the door.
He opened the door.
Yeah,
he opened the door.
I remember my former pastor Ray Williams used to tell us about First Baptist Congregational, because First Baptist Congregational, I think even today, still has 12 or 13 associate ministers.
Wow.
He says when he was there under
wow.
Dr. Griffin,
wow,
they had about 25 or 30.
Wow.
So that means you got to preach once every 2 years, I believe he said,
mm-hmm.
because.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I remember even here growing up as a kid at Kingdom, there were only two people in the pulpit here.
Wow.
James Horton and Pastor James Horton and at the time associate minister Tab Miller.
Wow.
He was not the assistant pastor.
Wow.
He was just he was another minister on the roster.
Wow.
He was the only other minister on the roster. He only preached on fifth Sundays.
Wow.
And, you know, you only get 3 to 4 of those
right.
a year.
Right.
If you might, you're going to get three. You
right.
might get four.
Right. Truth be told, they don't come and hear you.
They come and hear their pastor.
They come and hear the pastor.
Now, when you are a pastorhood, now, here is where I think the paradigm shifted. Preachers started being, because of the money situation,
uh-huh.
pastors being asked to come and preach at other churches,
sure.
to go out of town and preach somebody's
sure.
revival, to
sure.
preach their anniversary. That opened the door for more chances for the associates to preach.
Sure, sure.
So now if you have a pastor who is very well known.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. I have to check and see. I don't think Pastor Reggie Ward was at Lifeline yesterday. I believe he's out of town.
Okay.
So one of his other ministers had to preach.
Okay.
But you have other pastors who are constantly travel.
Okay.
I'll give you a very good example. Pastor Henderson,
yeah,
the Cardinal,
yeah,
travels a lot.
Yeah.
And but that's understood because, you know, if you are a full, if pastoring is your full time job,
sure,
and your church's budget does not allow for you to be paid enough to sustain
mm-hmm.
your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
then if preaching God's word is
gift.
What sustains, if that's your gift,
yeah.
then if he gave you the gift of preaching, then and if you're called to preach around the country,
yeah,
then that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Not neglecting your church, but that's
right.
why you put so
that's
I think
job.
That lifted up the opportunity for people to preach. At one time here at Kingdom, we had myself, Ivan Miller, Hulam, the other king, and Devon White. It was five of us and Pastor Miller. It was six of us in the pulpit plus Pastor Williams. So that was seven preachers.
Oh, well.
So we were packed.
No, well, when I was at Greater St. John, it was 25.
Yeah, I know what y'all always had.
Yeah.
There was a lot of folk come out of
Akron. But here, and the killer was, there was only four of us in the rotation.
Well, see, now Dr. Gerald Dew over at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church on the south side, he says, I got a lot of associate ministers. Mm-hmm. He said, but I only got a handful of preachers.
That's right. It was right.
He said, because some of them don't want to do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what I let them do.
It was only a few of us. So what I'm doing, and the Lord, when we was talking last night,
mm-hmm.
the Lord hit me. I really want to honor Pastor Forrest Norvell.
Okay.
I'm telling you this. The church, the youth, young preachers was in better conditions. They
yeah.
had opportunity. We had something to look forward to. We went to his church, man, even when he was on Polk,
mm-hmm.
even on North Avenue,
mm-hmm.
that little small church on Polk, we packed it out, but we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that it was no offering.
Mm-hmm.
It was opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these young guys, they don't know how to worship lead. They don't know how to MC.
No.
They don't know how to pray over offering properly.
No, they can hoop.
They don't know how to do none of the basic ministry things. I even seen pastors
mm-hmm.
that don't know how to commit a body to the ground.
Yeah.
And this is a shame. I've seen pastors that don't know how to run a baptism service.
Yeah.
And it's a sad indictment because we're saying that we are the leaders. We are God chosen, God elite. But all we know how to do is close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not even saying preach. I mean close. You got it. You can tune up. You can holler and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The people need more now. I mean, if you look at how it's going on, people could care less about your clothes now. They want your body. They want your argument, your meat. And that's what's really helping deliver folks. I see more people nowadays that operate. They preaching a sermon and they doing well. And they don't have to get all sweaty, hooping and hollering at the end because we're not in that damn
you
time.
You have preachers who can preach. Who have no business pastoring.
And that's true, too.
That's the problem.
They're evangelists.
They're just preachers.
Yeah, evangelists.
He gave some preachers and he
yeah.
gave some pastors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's difference.
Mm-hmm.
See, every you know, because watch this. You got some pastors that can't preach.
That's true. That's
but,
true.
But they're excellent administrators
that's
and
true.
They're excellent teachers.
Yeah, and their church is healthy.
And their church is healthy.
Yeah.
Because they run a very good organization.
Yeah.
But they may not be the best preacher.
Exactly. But and that's the question. Now, this, and I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
How do we define?
How do we define? And meaning, they could be very monotone.
Gotcha.
That's what I mean.
Gotcha.
Meaning they don't know how to tell a story.
Yeah.
Because part of preaching is being able to tell
charisma.
A story.
You got
to
have charisma.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be able. You have to be able
yeah.
to get people to. You have to be able to paint
yeah.
a picture for folk. I mean,
yeah.
A good preacher. A good preacher can paint a picture. Everybody can close their eyes.
That's right.
And can picture what the preacher's preaching.
Yeah, and they can imagine themselves being
there. Being there.
Yeah.
They can put you in the
yeah.
room. They can put you in the room when the smoke filled the room and the spirit fell on them like cloven tongue.
Yeah.
They can put you in the room when they talk. So that's what I mean by good preachers, good storytellers.
Yeah.
If you read in the Bible when Jesus talked, Jesus put you in the room.
Yeah,
he put
yeah.
you in the room when Paul preached, he put you
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah,
you know if you read
that's
Paul's
good.
Letters, Paul's letters put you in the room. They,
that's good.
You know, so that's what I mean. And it's not to knock them.
Sure,
it's just that they're not good. It's like if when okay, I'll give you a very good example. It's like being in school, like good teachers.
Uh-huh.
Good teachers can paint a picture for you.
Definitely.
Good teachers, because you have teachers who are very who can be very monotone. And they'll read a scripture like this. They'll say Romans 8:38-39.
Boring.
For I am persuaded
boring.
That neither death
yep.
nor life nor angels nor principality
boring.
Nor powers nor things present nor things to come.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you yeah. know, no, I mean, you know, a preacher and a teacher read that thing like, "For I am persuaded,
yeah.
That neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power."
Yeah. Now,
you know, and again, and you have some, you know, like even a Joel Osteen. I'm not a
sure.
fan, not a fan, but even in his teaching. It's relatable.
It's relatable.
I mean, there's a reason why yeah. 20,000 people sit
hey,
in the room.
Hey, I don't care. Hey, this is my Bible.
This
hey,
is man, my Bible.
Man, that man, hey. That man, and he opens up
yep.
great with a
he gives you a joke. He gives you
and then goes straight into his word.
Because that's
nice flow.
See, that's corporate work. Anytime you have a corporate meetings always start with icebreakers.
Yeah,
Joel Osteen
exactly.
took the corporate stand, the
yeah.
corporate organizational mode, and brought it into the church.
Yeah.
And it works for
yeah.
him.
It works for him.
It works for him, and it works for his ministry. Because
yeah.
I don't,
here.
I ain't never seen an empty
man,
seat on one of his
man,
broadcasts.
Listen here, no Elf. Matter what side the camera's on.
Man, that, you know,
one day they showed a view from top.
Hey,
looking down.
You know how some of these other mega churches.
I started to text Joe. Look, and text him, right? Like I got his number. Man, Joe, let me borrow some of your minutes.
You know how some of these quote unquote mega churches, I'm going to talk about some of the ones here in Chicago. I ain't going to say no name. But they have a. They
like Snaggletooth?
No, they don't pan the camera.
Because they look like Snaggletooth.
Right, right.
You got to hold that up, feeling that.
Looking like the Trump inauguration. Yeah. So anyway, that's good stuff. Real quick, man. Like if we can, we talked about this briefly on Friday. That was the last day for President Obama. And man, let me tell y'all about our former I guess man, that hurts to say that.
Yeah.
Former President
yeah.
Barack Obama. I
yeah.
mean, when you have to say that, it's like ugh.
Yeah.
This dude has class.
Yeah.
He is class personified. Man, they show him and Michelle walking to the helicopter. What I really want him to do, and I know he didn't do it. I know he wasn't gonna do it because he has too much class to do it. I really wanted him just to get like a good 5 minutes, like take these, like he goes, let me tell y'all something. I'm from Chicago. Let me say some stuff I've been wanting to say since day one.
Hey, but that would have been nice.
That's I really wanted him to have that moment. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. But man, listen,
he got too much class for that.
Yeah,
but a Negro over here,
man. FPO is he off the chain, man.
Yeah,
FPO
yeah.
is off the chain, man. Hey, I'm gonna say this, man. That man is so cool, calm,
he really
collective.
Is. He really is.
He got a swag out this world,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he has that swag,
man.
Yeah, like that. That's that old school,
man.
Like your cool uncle swag.
Hey, you know, real talk. He got that swag, like with the white T-shirt with the cigarettes in the sleeve. But the cigarettes, right?
I'm right, serious.
But
right.
The box, man, he got a swag at this world, man.
Right. One of our listeners says, let me make sure I say her name right. Is it D'Mica? D-Y-M-I-C-A. D'Mica says, good afternoon. She says, please let me know if either of you are interested in being mentors at my school. D'Mica
okay.
Brown, if you're being interested in being mentors. Rose Harper. God bless you, Rose Harper. Still waiting for you to come sit here. You know, you could come in on a Monday. That way you'd be comfortable. You could sit next to one of your kids over here. You could come on in here on a Monday. Rose Harper. Yeah, I'm calling you out again. You could come on in here on a Monday and sit with us and hang out. Dana Miller says, good morning. Felicia Martin says, good afternoon. Some of the best sincere preachers I've known, she says, are not commercial.
I agree.
Because you do have a lot of commercial.
Oh.
A lot of preachers who just preach for the dollar.
Oh, most definitely.
Because
most
they
definitely.
Got a good hoop.
It's a gimmick to most people, man. It's
yeah.
a gimmick, and they don't look at it as being a blessing or art, man. It's a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm disturbed. When
mm-hmm.
you've been doing this thing 20 years, man, actually Wednesday
mm-hmm.
is my 20th year anniversary
mm-hmm.
of preaching my first sermon.
Oh, wow.
Wednesday is 20th years. My first sermon was in Matthew chapter 6. Is your praying in vain? And when
when you've been brought up the way I have in this ministry, man, it pisses you off. I'm serious.
Mm.
Because you see how people take this
for granted. Yeah.
Man, there's some people that paved the way, man. Some people that have went through blood, sweat, and tears that we're able to stand behind a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just even talking about the Spirit of God or God of Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about our foreparents, the people that really paved this way.
Yeah.
The churches we're in, what it took for them to even start these churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know, man, listen, the Ronalds, all the Millers, the Norvells, I mean, I can start naming the J.T. Rosses. I mean, these guys who really put it on us.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, we didn't appreciate it. But when you look at that thing now, and you realize everything that they was trying to teach us was for our good.
Yeah.
And you know, the number one thing they was trying to teach us, be better than me.
Yeah. Yeah, and
be
and
better than I am.
You said something very powerful about paving the way and the sacrifices that those people made.
Yes.
Because I hear all the time, you know, this church, you know how this church was, they birthed out of Metropolitan, I'm sorry, out of Greater Union.
Uh-huh.
And you know how they were having church in James Horton's basement.
Sure.
And then they found this building, and then they saw it, and they said, we're going to get this building.
Sure.
And it was, you know, it didn't make sense.
Sure.
But they got it and then paid it off at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But they did the work because people were dedicated. You don't see that type of dedication anymore. And then, too,
man.
But here is the difference. You can be dedicated when you see results.
Mm.
You can be dedicated to something.
True.
It's just like people who – I give you a very good example. This thing with the fasting that we're doing, this prayer and fasting we've been doing for the last 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for results, not just losing the weight, but we're looking for the spiritual results.
Exactly.
We're looking for the like you said, you feel better.
Yeah.
You can tell that the atmosphere around you is better. For lack of better words, his karma feels better. You feel a little lighter, like you're not carrying all these burdens, not the burden of the weight, but just burdens, period.
Yeah.
So when people can see results, they're willing to buy in or invest in what it is you're trying to do. People will invest in your vision when they can see clearly what your vision is.
Make it plain.
And you make it plain enough for them to see it, and then they start to see some of the fruits of your vision start to come to pass. Then people will say, well, where do I sign up?
That's good. And you know, I remember I was on many campaigns before, right?
Yeah.
And I can't really throw it out there because a lot of listeners might know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we started failing with people giving – when we first started off, individuals were sowing money left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But then we kept doing year after year.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying the same – no one see no results.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying the same speech, but no one seeing any results.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say it again. We are saying the same speech, but there's no – there's no results in that. So we keep asking the same people to give the same money.
Yeah.
And they're giving it over and over.
Yeah.
But where's the results?
It's
what are you doing with my money?
It's the everlasting building fund.
Exactly. There you go.
You got
there
a build. You've had a building fund for 20 years.
Yeah.
And ain't got nothing fixed.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But the building fund is always concert for the building fund.
Exactly.
Afternoon program for the building
exactly.
fund.
Exactly.
We gonna do a fundraiser outside.
Yeah. We need a roof, but all you did was patch.
Exactly. Exactly.
So all that stuff matters, man. You know, I'm hopeful that a shift will take place.
Mm-hmm.
It's time that we stop living an ordinary life.
Yeah.
As believers.
Yeah.
And you know, it might sound like, okay, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
We as people of God, we're peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
We are different. We set apart. And we got to stop living an ordinary life and start living an extraordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we don't trust God enough in everything that we need him to do. We all guilty of praying for all the necessities. We pray for necessities with no problem. Lord, please keep my lights on. Lord, please give me a place to lay my head. But there's some other stuff that the Lord want us to tap into that we're not tapping into. And that's why we're still stuck at ground zero.
Yeah.
A lot of churches are stuck in their predicament because of their lack of asking.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We don't ask God enough. When I looked at the scripture, James 4, I was looking at how they was doing everything under the sun to provide to get money.
Mm-hmm.
They was doing using lust. They was all these quick rich schemes. They were gimmicks. Everything under the sun, and all they had to do was ask the Lord to do what it is that they needed him to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can sit back and come with a plan, a plot, to, and try to figure out what do I need to do to make more money. And we never go to God and ask God to lead us and direct our minds and to develop a godly plan that will sustain us.
Mm-hmm.
See, we want temporary fixes, but God wanted to give us a permanent solution.
Mm-hmm.
And we're afraid of permanent solutions because permanent solutions takes time and it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary fix is an overnight thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a microwave thing. And that's why even when I'm baking stuff, I love baking in the oven that you can wrap it with foil because it lets all the juice and season in that meat.
Right.
Whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, it stays in there. You can't do that in the microwave.
You can't do that in the microwave.
Right. It gets done.
It gets done.
But it ain't the same.
And it dries out.
It ain't the same.
Because microwave
cooks things from the inside out.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. So when you want something right now, that's like a microwave. We're like a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to pop, like pop, pop.
Well, we don't want to put a lot of we don't want to put the work in, because there is a grind to it now, and that's because we've seen here's where we get ourselves in trouble. We see how God has gifted us with some amazing minds.
Oh man,
and some amazing talent.
Oh my God,
and because of that, a spirit of impatience comes on us.
Wow.
So because we see things immediately, like it's just like you. You could probably go to a church service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sit in the church service one time and pick out some stuff that could be quick change, right?
I like that.
Okay. Now imagine sitting in one. You just go visit a church for a month in a row, and somebody said, Parks, I want you to come in and evaluate my service.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in for four Sundays in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody know who you are. You just sit in the back. He don't tell nobody what you're there doing.
Mm-hmm.
You just a visitor. And you evaluate from the time you walk in the door up until the 4 weeks is up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come in with a list. Based off what I know about you, most of your list will be done on the first Sunday.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, some other stuff you're going to find out after the fact.
Exactly.
But the big thing is going to stick out immediately for
exactly.
you. Now, you could probably, in your mind, say, oh, we can fix this right now.
Exactly.
But it doesn't work that way.
It don't work like that.
And see, that's been my struggle.
Mm.
Just because I can see it all real easily. It's like, okay, we can fix that. We can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fix this. If you can't get the people to buy in as to why it needs to be fixed and corrected.
Yeah.
Then you just constantly harping on it like fix it. All you're doing is frustrating yourself.
Man, you saying something. So we had a business meeting Saturday.
Yes, you did. We got one tonight.
it turned out good. It was exceptional well.
Uh-huh.
However, there were some things said in the business meeting, and I want listeners to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some of the members talk about that we need to clean up the church.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
I have one issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you already identified that the church need to clean it up, why you wait to a business meeting to suggest that it need to be cleaned up?
Okay.
Sometimes you got to take accountability, take the initiative, take the lead in doing this. So one of the brothers said, well, Pastor, I don't have a problem in coming down once a week, clean up the church. So now we're developing a plan that each ministry would come down because we can't afford a janitor. Each ministry come down once a week and clean up the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could have been, what took you guys so long to buy into this?
Mm-hmm.
I've been preaching this for the longest.
Yeah.
And so now what I told them, since I am the king of product, I'm going to slow down on product.
Okay.
Because it seemed like my capacity, the things I get, is for like a mega church ministry.
Okay.
Okay. Seriously.
Okay.
And so I did a pickup in December.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to late January, and I still got the same product.
Okay.
That we have not given it away.
Okay.
And so now it's just stuck there looking tacky.
So it's just, okay.
So now we had, when we have a Bible study or Sunday morning service, you got visitors coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now they see all this stuff.
It's just stuff.
It's just stuff, clutter.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm challenging the members. If you see this, don't wait for the pastor to put this together or change it. Take the initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to learn to take take ownership of our own ministry, our building.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between back then and now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the elders, the other members, they took ownership of their church. They was pride in their church.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things you couldn't do in the church.
True.
It's certain things. I mean, and we wouldn't do it because we had that level of respect as well.
That's good. Real quick, you guys, we were talking about the president last week. And we don't want you to turn to it now, but make sure you take a peek at, I guess, Donald Trump's press secretary is giving his first, asking some questions this week. Last week, Friday, over the weekend, he got on and was complaining and upset because he complained about the coverage of the crowd and how much space was out there and how the media tried to manipulate the cameras and all this other mess. But he's a fool. So anyway, we're going to let that go. But you got to pay attention, y'all, because this thing is going to be y'all just got to continue to pay attention. You just have to. But look, y'all, we ready. We're going to jump into the article, right? I hope y'all ready for it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Rose Harper, like I said before, we're asking for you to come on in here. We sent you an invite. We try to talk to your people. Come on in here. Come on in the room. There's room at the end. So you come on in here and have a seat next to myself and one of your shorties over here. And we'd be glad to have you on in the studio. Amen. Look, y'all, we're going to jump into this article. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Seven things we can learn from attractional churches. We're going to get y'all some of this. Adrian B. King, so amazing, y'all. We'll be right back. TTLO.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
I'm covered by grace.
grace party is amazing.
I know his birthday is coming up. Or did he already have his birthday? I'm confused. I know he got something coming up soon. But Adrian B. King in reference. Reference. Did I say reference? Reverence. Adrian B. King in reference. Send me your reference. Adrian B. King in reverence. I got to get him some pubs. One of my shouted sings with him.
Oh, Rosie sent me a message.
Said,
so you let him think I'm your spiritual mom or something?
Well, you get me in trouble, man.
Okay, well,
oh my God,
your little brother then? How's that?
No, that's my sweetie.
Okay, it's your sweetie.
Yeah, Rose.
Well, go sit next to your sweetie.
Come
and
sit next to me, Rose.
Right, because look, because he lost weight, he's making room for you.
Making room.
Little room.
Said,
man, oh my God.
Oh,
Jesus.
That's
hilarious.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
I can't win from losing.
Oh God. Let's jump into this conversation, y'all. We got this. This is good. Seven things we can learn from attractional churches. Seven things we can learn from attractional. The writer is Chuck Lawless. This is a brand new article, January 17th of this year. Simply says this. The debate between an attractional or missional church continues. He says, I'm not a fan of a church that is only attractional, and I've written about the importance of believers doing evangelism. But I do think we can learn some things from the attractional approach. So here we go, talking about attractional churches, seven things we can learn. Number one, my brother, hit it.
Have an intentional strategic strategy to reach people. Too many churches are neither attractional nor missional because they have little commitment to reaching the unchurched anyway. An attractional approach is at least an intentional start. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, truth of the matter, and we've been talking about that a lot, like a lot of our churches are not geared towards the sinner. It's just geared towards the saints.
It's geared towards the folks
that's already there and that's saved, man.
Yeah.
And we have not created ministry for those that's drug abuse, those that alcoholism, those that are dealing with many other addictions. We just have them come in and try to throw the Bible at them, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's where we go wrong at.
Yeah, I like this word because there's that word again, intentional or intentionality. You have to be intentional about some things, and you have to be intentional about that your worship service is geared towards attracting the unchurched. When Jesus went out to speak, he didn't go out to speak to those already saved, because if that's what he wanted to do, he could have just stayed in the temple and preached to all the folks with the robes on. But Jesus went out to where the people were. He intentionally went out to where the people were. And then watch this. He intentionally spoke in a way that they could understand and relate to.
Yeah.
That's why all of his analogies, or in preacher terminology, illustrations, were geared towards things that they could adjust to.
Yeah.
Hit number two, Doc.
Number two, think about the unchurched. You might argue that the attractional approach gives too much attention to them, but it does focus on non-believing people that love the Lord. The Lord loves.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes us to be outward focused.
Yeah, outwardly focused.
And that's crazy because we really not considering the unchurched. I promise you we're not, because it has become a money game.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that we can't do nothing wrong or say anything wrong to those who believe, because those are the ones who support the ministry and all that. But we're losing a crowd, which many ministries that's capable are reaching them. They're doing their part.
Mm-hmm.
They're reaching them. And that's why most of these unchurched are going to bigger size churches, because they're getting reached in some matter.
Mm-hmm.
They have services. They have programming that they can go and offer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, half of them, to be honest, they come to most of our churches, individual churches, and they ask, well, what do you have to offer? Well, I got Jesus.
Yep.
I can get Jesus at home.
And that's why I think it's so good to have, you know, you can have all these other programs in the church. I think if you have a drug abuse counseling program, if you have one of those programs in your church, and watch this. If nobody in your church is qualified to run one, go to a local Alcohol Anonymous location and tell them, you know what, can you send one of your people to my church and you can use my facility? Go get somebody who's because it's a need for it. I don't care what it is. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be sex addiction. It could be gambling. It could be any of those things. Those are things I think we need in our churches. And to be honest with you, there is a lot of, you know, when people think of gambling issues,
mm-hmm.
they really only equate that to black folk too often.
Mm.
But I can tell you honestly, there's a whole lot of black folk who spend all their money, whether they going to the casino or they dropping $60 and $70 a day at the lottery machine.
Yeah.
They got a problem.
Yeah. That's an addiction.
It is.
It is.
And a lot of times, and watch this, a lot, tell you a funny story one time, man, we were singing at a church. I used to be a part of of our mass. We had a community choir here one time.
Okay.
Now it's been reduced to the mass choir. It's been just everybody's just been combined into one. But we had a community choir where people from outside the community came and sang with us.
Oh, really?
So we went to go sing at a church over here on Laramie. I can't think of the name of the church. We're in the choir stand, right? So the guy that's in the choir, I don't know what church he went to because he went to a different church. He comes and he gets ready to stand up. I promise you, a stack of lottery tickets fell on the floor, right? In the choir stand, right? Now, the choir stand is up behind the pulpit, so they just laying there. And you know them lottery tickets is what, pink and white or whatever? They just laying there. So I see them, and I go, well, my God. I'm like, because first I thought it was money. I said, but them just lot. I mean, it's like a knot. Like, so I tapped him on the, you know, I was trying to be low-key because I ain't want it, you know, I'm like, hey, so I, you got the ticket. Oh, they ain't mine. They ain't told us. Well, who's this day? So he didn't want to pick him up. So I'm saying to myself, okay, they ain't told us. Let them still be laying here when we get ready to walk out. I'll pick them up. I ain't got no problem. All right. So we got ready. When we got ready to get up and go,
he scooped down.
And picked him up, talking about, I'm just going to put him over here. I slid him right in his Bible. Wait, put him right in his Bible.
And walked out. Hey, wait. You know what that man said? Hey, I had a situation. Dude, I went into the liquor store one day, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, this time, this is innocent.
Passed in the liquor store, y'all.
I went to go get some ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I seen some church folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I seen them...
Oh Lord! You saw some.
I tried to play it off like I was doing Mardi Gras. Hey, I went up to the counter. Actually, can I have a Mardi Gras? So I stopped filling it out. Hey, I started feeling it out, right? And I'm like, man, I'm talking all out. I know she didn't send me the wrong number.
You know what?
Hey, I'm sorry, y'all.
You was that embarrassed?
Man, was I embarrassed? And I was only getting ice.
Yeah,
I wasn't getting no communion.
I wouldn't care what they saw me
man,
with.
Man, I was getting ice, I promise you. Oh, man.
Jesus and the disciples drank every day.
Oh, my God.
Every
That's
day. Now. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Number seven, we're talking seven things we can learn from attractive churches. Number three says, promote excellence. He says, the consumerism of the attractional approach may go too far, but it nevertheless requires us to strive for excellence. Far too many congregations act as if a shoddy, ill-prepared worship service is pleasing to the Lord.
That's true. You know, man, honestly, I want to thank God for you, First Bethel. For the past 3 weeks, we've been operating in excellence for worship service.
That's awesome.
There has been a continuous flow, no gaps. I mean, it's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. I can't stand to go into a place of worship when it's just tacky. Man, listen, I'm not the storefront mentality. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Yeah.
I don't care about how small your church are. You still got to do mm-hmm. things in decent. That's one of my major pet peeves,
mm-hmm.
to sit in service.
Yeah.
And especially when you got an MC and you know somebody knowing they on program, but they went to the washroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're calling when they come back. Man, mm-hmm. come on, man.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We have to promote excellence.
Yeah. I think that the part that stuck out for me was at this very last part of the statement, number three, where it says, far too many congregations act as if a shoddy, ill-prepared worship service is pleasing to the Lord. When you just show up, no rehearsal, no practice. Because here's the deal. It ain't just the choir that needs to rehearse. It ain't just the musicians that need to rehearse. The deacons should rehearse.
That's right.
The deacons should, maybe y'all should rehearse. Maybe your deacon's meeting.
You suppose?
You ought to rehearse some of them songs that you tear up on Sunday morning in front of the congregation.
Yeah.
Maybe at your deacon's meeting.
Yeah.
Some of you deacons who really ain't that good at praying ought to pray in your deacon's meeting to prepare yourself for Sunday.
Man, I butchered a song yesterday.
Maybe in your deacon's meeting, some of you deacons who are not that good at reading ought to read some scriptures in your deacon's meeting. Maybe you pick the scripture at your deacon's meeting that you're going to be reading for the rest of the month. And that way you're consistent with it and everybody can have the same scripture. And then you can stand up there and read it with confidence versus waiting until 11 o'clock to open up your Bible, flip through some pages and just land on the scripture and then just start reading it.
Wow. Wow.
So see, that's what giving God, that's what preparation, preparing for excellence does. But when you just show up and say, I'm going to open the Bible up, and you open up the Bible and it just happens to fall on Jude 3, and you ain't got a clue to what that's saying, you're just going to read it because you want to be different.
Wow.
And you ain't never read it before. So now you fumbling over words and can't, no. God wants excellence, and we should promote excellence. Let's keep it going. Number four says, go ahead and read number four, Doc.
Keep moving people in the direction of evangelism.
Mm.
Few believers will ever share the gospel verbally. We talked about that before. Perhaps inviting others to church is at least a move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
An attractional model requires us to consider the spiritual state of others, a first step towards evangelism.
Yeah.
So we was in a business meeting.
Okay.
And one of the brethren said, y'all know what we need. We need more members. We need more. We need more members. We need more income, revenue, capital. And I said, well, what we need to do is start evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we as a church, we are operating like we don't have no friends.
Mm.
Everybody in the church is operating like they don't have no friends whatsoever.
Mm.
Invite people to church. It's either
you
don't have friends, or people are shocked that you go to church, or you embarrassed
about
your
church. Those are the three reasons.
The three reasons.
Yeah.
And so you got to find out what, if you saying that you love your church and you need more people in here, you got to invite, you got to evangelize.
And see, that's where, and I'm glad it happened at your business meeting, and because I'm one who believes there should be business meetings in the church, and then there should be church meetings.
Exactly.
Because I think business meetings are for the financial side of the church, the building, and any of that, when it, all the money stuff and everything. But then I think you need to have church meetings.
Exactly.
And church meetings, that's when you really can dig down into, let's find out why, and then have an honest, open dialogue.
That's right.
Why don't you invite people to church? And then you can't get mad. Watch this now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get mad when someone turns around and does raise their hand and say, how many of you all are embarrassed to invite people to your church?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then be humble enough to hear the explanation as to why they're embarrassed.
And, you know, this, I told them this. I said, what I did last year, coming into 2017, I said, I gave out survey cards because I wanted to hear what do you guys want to do with this ministry? How you see this ministry going?
Yeah.
I need your input. And so the things that they put down is never what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be afraid to voice and speak what the problem is. But the problem is I'm learning average people don't evangelize verbally because they don't know how.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And they don't know how. And I'm learning this too. We keep saying maybe you need to go to a Bible-based church. No, maybe you just need to go to church.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go to Bible class.
We're not teaching. I am one who believes and that you ought to have you ought to do teachings. And when you do teachings, they need to be consistent, and you need to go from start to end. So if you're going to teach on praise and worship, whatever material you're using, go from beginning to end. If you're going to teach on evangelism, then you get that material and you follow through with it, and you go nonstop. If you're gonna say I'm doing 6 weeks of evangelism teaching, then that's what we're gonna do. If I'm doing 8 to 10 weeks of praise and worship, then that's what we're gonna do. If I'm doing stewardship, that's what we're gonna do. And you have to do that. And if you constantly have that set of teaching, and if that means you repeat it, maybe you do evangelism twice a year if that's where you're lacking. Because if your church isn't growing, you need to be teaching on those. You need to be teaching on evangelism and discipleship.
But one of the reasons, and you're right,
come on,
but it's impossible to keep teaching when they're not showing up.
But you know what? You got to keep teaching.
And I know that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, one of the problems with evangelizing, and I want everyone to hear this, is the loyalty of the church. These people that's going to the mega churches are not introducing people to Jesus. They saying, you need to come see my church. You need to come and check out my pastor.
Come check out Hannah.
They're not saying that you need to come check out Jesus.
Right.
They saying you got to come check out the person. I'm being 100.
Right.
They're not evangelizing.
No.
Swapping members is not evangelizing.
Yeah.
And so the hard part about evangelizing is the people afraid to go talk about Jesus to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part about evangelizing.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep going. Number 5 says, demand strong communication. Ooh, let me read that again. Demand strong communication. Attractional approaches don't work if the delivery of the message is poorly done. And of course, I'm assuming here that the message is clearly the gospel.
Wow. Wow. Attractional approaches don't work if the delivery of the message is
poorly
done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You.
Wow.
And watch this. Poorly done mean not. That doesn't just mean the words. That means, can we hear it? Is the sound system clear? Is the video projection clear? Is there a whole bunch of other stuff going on while you're preaching? Is during the worship service, are there meetings being held in on the side during the worship service? Are people up having whole other conversations during praise and worship? Is there anything that's going to distract me from the worship during the worship service? All of that encompasses poorly done. We got to make sure that what we're presenting is not poorly done, that we're doing it, like, as they said in number 3, in excellence.
In excellence.
Got to do it in excellence. And then, like what he says, and then the writer says, I'm assuming we're talking about the gospel. And even in our preaching, okay, fine, it's wonderful. I don't believe anyone who's educated should have to dumb down what they do. But you need to learn how to speak to the people who you preach to.
Man.
You need to know your crowd.
Man, I'm tired of that.
Know your crowd.
You know, honestly.
So what, you know Greek?
Man, this is one of my most distasteful matters concerning a preacher. And you know, I can stump with the big dogs. I know I can.
Yeah.
I can use enunciation and great terminology and all that stuff. But truth of the matter, stop trying to sound so deep. You ain't, man, you're not deep. I'm serious. That, you know, that's what's wrong with the body. We competing with each other based upon how... based upon our oracle, if we can enunciate better, if we can alliterate, if we can go Greek and we can do word searching, man, that's fine. But don't try to make it seem like that's the focus of preaching. Preaching is not the focus on how great the words you use. Preaching is focused on how great your delivery is. How can the people of God receive a message that you're speaking, preaching in that pulpit? That's the art of preaching.
Yeah.
How well can you deliver? Can you be yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be yourself. What God, how God called you to preach, how he called you to teach. Listen, if he called you to be a teacher, don't get intimidated because somebody else can hoop. No, teach your butt off. Teach until you can't teach no more. Because I see the glory of God to reign in the house when there's pure teaching versus you trying to mock and mimic somebody else. Be who you are. Only be you, because everyone else is taken.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Go ahead and get number 6.
Doc. Apply the gospel.
Yes.
Hearers needs to understand how to apply the gospel to their lives during the rest of the week. And strong preaching takes them there through application. Show people where the gospel intersects their lives.
Yeah.
Here, number 1, you have to observe the text. Number 2, you have to interpret the text, and then number 3, you have to bring application from the text. Your text got to be relevant. Your word has to be relevant. You have to teach people. Even if Daniel was in the lion's den,
mm-hmm.
how can we relate Daniel's experience to today's time?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't just get stuck in the story of Daniel in the lion's den, because there's no more Daniels in that lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there are situations, circumstances that make us feel like we are in a lion's den, waiting to die, waiting to get chewed up.
Mm-hmm.
The three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
You know, teach me how, when the heat get turned up in my life,
yeah.
how do I change
Come on.
My thinking? How
mm-hmm.
do I change my
mm-hmm.
capacity?
Yeah.
How do I get out of the norm, change my routine? What are some things I need to do? See, we get stuck in the story or the parable,
yeah.
but we're not bringing it to today's time.
Application is necessary.
It's very necessary.
If you preach, and at the end of your sermon, people don't have something to take away from and to work on during the week.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, as an associate,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to do that, because if what you're preaching is different than whatever the quote unquote vision is.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, but as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
you can you know, do a series
mm-hmm.
and say the purpose of this series is to help you with these particular areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so every week we're going to be coming from this series. I'm going to give you a different sermon,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be something that you can apply
That's
to your
good.
Everyday life. It's good when you go to a church and the pastor preaches and at the end he gives you application.
Yeah.
Real common sense. Application.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to do. Yes, we can hear the stories and the stories of the three Hebrew boys. We can
yeah.
hear about Joseph in the pit. I preached that one time, and in the pit situation, but we've all been there.
Yeah,
not physically in a pit.
Yeah.
but
yeah.
we've all been in that situation
yeah.
where we felt like we had nothing.
Nothing. Exactly.
Yeah.
But so my question.
Yeah.
We need best practice
yes.
principles.
Yes.
And I think that's what's hurting most churches, especially smaller churches, is that we're not. And best practical principles,
mm-hmm.
Best practice principles. We just telling a story. And if you're a storyteller, I don't care. I mean, there's different dimensions of preaching, different styles. But you got to be able to allow the youth, the teens, young adults, the adults, and the elders
yeah.
at the same time
mm-hmm.
to receive something out of your word.
Yes. Yes.
It has to be everyone in there
yeah.
has to be able to receive something from the word.
You know what I love about, and I hate to use different examples, but I've seen it other places, but just locally, because I watch a lot of his broadcasts, Pastor Reggie Royal. When you see his Bible study,
mm-hmm.
you see people with iPads.
There you go.
You see people with tablets.
There you go.
And with pens and paper.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are writing.
And
they are, some of them are writing. You see people writing on the paper. Their eyes never leave up to see who's talking, because
yeah.
they're listening and they're writing and they're
yeah.
getting the points of this thing. And that's what I love about, I love preaching, but I love teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I like
yeah.
the, and I love interactive teaching.
Yeah.
When I was teaching Bible study downstairs, you know, we got a podium and everything.
Yeah.
I never stood behind that thing
mm-hmm.
because I don't like it, because I'm not here to lecture you.
It keep you stagnated.
It does. So I used to take a chair and sit right. You know, we had the tables in the U. I would sit right in the middle.
That's good.
And then I get up and I talk to folk. And, I come sit right on the table in front of you.
That's good.
And just have that open, because I want the we are all a part of this
yeah.
because it should be interactive.
Yeah.
We ought to be able to ask. What's the point of coming to Bible study? I can't ask no questions.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense
That's
to me.
Good.
I've never understood. I can go to Bible study and you just get up and talk, but don't nobody get to ask no questions.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's keep going. Last one. Number 7 says this. Maximize the opportunity. We may get only one opportunity to proclaim the gospel to the unchurched person who unexpectedly attends our church. Tell it clearly. Tell it well. Passionately call people to Jesus. I completely agree. You only get one time to make a good first impression.
That's it.
One
That's
chance.
It. And then, to be honest with you, just because they sit in the service, you probably even lost that first impression.
Yep. You never know.
You only get a certain amount of time
yeah.
to win their attention.
This is why doing everything in excellence is important.
Yes.
This is why starting on time is important.
It is.
Because people, because this is what we said this before, people's lives are different than they were 25 years ago.
Yeah.
25 and 30 years ago, guess what? Folks didn't work on Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs didn't work on Sunday.
Yeah.
But guess what? Folk go to work right after, some folk go to work right after church.
Exactly.
And some folk come to church right after work.
Yeah.
So you need to be starting on time. So watch this. If you're doing things in excellence all the time,
yeah,
when that guest shows up, they don't see nothing different.
Nothing different.
They see excellence.
That's right.
See, that's why I get so upset, because when it's church anniversary, when it's family and friends day, we got greeters at the door.
That's right.
On family and friends
that's
day.
That's right.
Church anniversary, oh my God, good. We got that's greeters good. At the door. Every usher show
that's
up
good.
On church anniversary. But that's then good. On third Sunday in September, when ain't nothing going on, we can't find
we
y'all.
We can't find you.
Ain't not a greeter at the door.
That's good. That's good. And that, you know,
that's, and that's when your visitor going to show up.
Exactly. That's absolutely true.
Because family and friends day, them folks from other churches,
other
that,
churches
to be honest,
there you go.
That's all it is.
There you go.
Come on.
And you know, you're absolutely right. We try to impress.
Yes. On those days.
On those days. But then every normal day, what are we offering the people?
Yeah.
And that makes me so mad, because don't try to put on your best dress.
Uh-huh.
When there's an event.
Yeah.
Wear your best dress any given Sunday.
Show up all the time.
Man, listen, I'll never forget, I was working at Chicken and Waffle,
mm-hmm.
and general manager on the mm-hmm. one in Bronzeville, and
mm-hmm.
Darnell Johnson, which is the owner. We was getting ready to do a deal with Don Thompson. He was the CEO for McDonald's.
Okay.
And so Don Thompson was coming in to see if he could work with us to help us mm-hmm. Build multiple locations.
Mm-hmm.
However, Darnell, when Don was on his way, he notified Darnell that Don was on his way.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his way. So Darnell called me and said, okay, Cornelius, I need this, blah, blah, this, that, that. Start net number, name, make sure this and tag me. I said, wait, Darnell,
mm-hmm.
Don is just one person.
Right.
We should have this intact
all the
everybody.
Time. Every person
not,
who walks in the door.
Let's not put pressure
right.
on staff because one person here for something we should be already
mm-hmm.
doing. If you're doing that for everybody, then when, watch this. But then when somebody, when you get a big wig to come in,
that's right.
you can go a little bit beyond.
Yeah.
But you're not. But it's not a stretch.
It's not a stretch.
But if you live in raggedy,
right.
it's kind of like you don't never clean your house.
That's right.
Until company comes.
And then you throw everything under the bed.
Or now you busting your behind.
Yeah.
To try to clean up
yeah.
when if you had been cleaning up all along.
All along.
It don't take that much.
All along.
You know, it's like I'm trying. It's like I give you a very good example. Walmart.
Uh huh.
Walmart has greeters.
Yeah.
Don't matter if it's Christmas.
That's right.
Or whatever.
That's
we can leave here and go to any Walmart. And as soon as you walk Walmart, hi, how are you? Somebody
yeah.
handed you a fly.
Yeah.
Walmart always had, there are greeters. I don't care if they 700 years old.
Yeah.
In a
that's
wheelchair
right.
or
right.
whatever.
It's somebody at the door.
It's going to always be somebody at the door.
Yeah.
Rain, sleet, shine,
yeah.
snow, whatever.
Yep.
The church should be the same way.
Yep.
Those greeters should be there whether it's Christmas Sunday.
Yep.
Or it's second
yep.
Sunday.
Yep.
It don't matter. We should do things in excellence.
In excellence.
We That's should
true.
Do things in excellence.
And, but we can't miss the moment, though, man. We can't.
No. And you only get that.
You only get that one time.
You only get it one
you
time.
You got to max. You know, some. You know, the rule of thumb, if somebody come back and visit two or three times,
yep.
they're a potential member.
That's right.
But everyone that come visit that first time don't never come back.
Yeah.
So those who come, you got to give them the best experience.
Let me see what it's like. The first time I get in.
Give them the kingdom experience, the first
yeah.
Bethel experience,
yeah.
whatever church. Give them that experience.
Yeah.
Now, my brand,
mm-hmm.
one of our brands is our fellowship hour.
Okay.
Like doing the course of service after worship, right in worship.
Mm-hmm.
We're still singing. I release the people in the atmosphere to go love on each other.
Yeah.
And then I told them yesterday, said in a meeting, you know, you guys love on each other more you love on the visitors.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
You should be drowning the visitors
yeah.
with love.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then here, let me say this to you people. Be careful what you say when there's visitors that's in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hear everything
yep.
that you're saying,
you could be
whether it's about the church, the pastor.
Yep. You could be complaining about something, people behind you.
They hear it.
They ain't coming back.
They're not coming back.
Nope.
They're not coming back.
So let's close it out. The writer says this. He says, now I'm not suggesting that missional churches don't exhibit these characteristics. He says, many, in fact, do.
What I'm encouraging is an approach that is both attractional and missional. We move outside the church to live among the lost. Take the light to them. Share life with them and also invite them to corporate worship that is biblically sound and culturally aware. We can learn from each other. That's
Amen.
Good. That's good. I mean, I am so on this thing of excellence, and it's like even whatever, like people who had like first Sunday of the year,
uh-huh.
The first day of the year was on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Your first Sunday dictates how you start the rest of the year.
And that's true.
And people, when I said that on Sunday, people looked at me like I was crazy that first Sunday, and it dictated how we went the rest
wow.
of the weeks.
Wow. I'm glad that we're at a better place.
Yeah.
Right now, and I want you to continue praying. Everyone continue to pray for our local churches.
Yes.
We're at a better place than we ever been since I became pastor.
That's
first
awesome.
Temple.
That's awesome.
I see God's glory, and it's a free spirit in there now. It's free worship, and I see the hearts and the spirits of the people has been attentive. But in the same token, we are in control of the morale that our ministries go into,
mm-hmm.
the direction. People of God, if you want a mega ministry, first you have to become mega-minded.
That's good. That's good.
You can do it. And mega does not mean numbers.
Yeah.
It means excellent.
And I want to pour something into you because you said something earlier the stuff that you've been collecting, the products,
sure.
and how you're collecting stuff on a mega scale,
sure.
and that you have to downsize that. No, you don't.
Oh, wow.
No, you don't.
That.
No, you don't have to down because if there is a reason that
wow.
God, thank you, Holy Ghost. There is a
wow.
reason that God is allowing the flow of items to
wow.
come to you. Because he's setting you up
wow.
to prepare you to be able to dispense this stuff across the city.
Wow.
So yes, it's taking up a lot of space
wow.
right now.
Wow.
The thing you might want to do is learn how to manage this. Don't worry about the product.
Gotcha.
Because the reason you're being
wow.
sent all this stuff is so that you can better dispense it across the city and maybe
wow.
even across the country. So you cannot don't minimize what God is sending you.
Wow.
Don't minimize
that.
That. Yeah, because see he's blessing you on the scale that he's blessing you because he wants you to be the same type of blessing to everybody else.
Wow.
So you need to come up with a plan.
There you go.
To get this stuff like you had for Christmas.
Out. Yep.
Just how you had it to come in for Christmas. If you got this, I don't care if you need to come up with a strategy
wow.
to put this stuff on Facebook,
wow.
to come up with some type of delivery system or whatever
wow.
it is. God is giving you that stuff not to house it.
That's right. Wow.
But to send it out.
And you know, I'm glad you said that because I was going to throw this out too, that if there's anyone, churches that's doing some community stuff in regards to the homeless.
Yeah.
The Lord opened doors that I have a lot of hygiene products.
So. Okay.
Toothpaste,
yeah.
Toothbrushes, soap,
mm-hmm.
deodorant,
mm-hmm.
Paper towels, tissue,
mm-hmm.
Women's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have laundry detergent. It's so much that it's just sitting there.
Wow!
And so, if anybody knows, just contact me and we can work something out.
Yeah, we need to come up with a way.
Yeah.
Of definitely taking advantage of that. Because I'm sure there are people with needs all around us, people listening to us.
It is, and
we just don't know who they are, but we have to do a better job of making sure we promote that. And
yeah.
I believe God has appointed you
that.
At this time to do that.
I'm with that.
We're going to pray out. Go ahead, sir.
Father in heaven, we thank you, God. We thank you for the show. Thank you for my brother always pouring and depositing into my life, God. And we thank you for the listeners that have partook. Now, God, we pray that we continue to go forward in our life, God. We pray that the movement don't stop. That we don't come to a halt, that we can continue to live for you and live for you alone, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful show. We appreciate y'all so much, man. We love y'all. It's been a good week. It's the last week of the fast. Y'all stay steadfast. Y'all stay strong. We're going to get through this together. We got, 6 days left. 6 days, y'all.
Oh.
We can do this. So y'all stay blessed. And if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on the swivel.
On the swivel.
TTO. We out, y'all. Be blessed.
Lift your worship.